What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth with students from Sale High School to examine the hypersexualization of girls. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Rashima Jackson. She is a senior at Sale, and she's into babies and school and music.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Hannah Hancock, a junior, student government, history, natural science. Those are her things.
What's up?
Eileen Bustamante, she's a senior. She is the senior class president. Her interests are English and history.
Hello, North Florida.
Savannah Burris, she is in the ninth grade, and she is into reading. She enjoys reading.
Hi.
Connor Mott. Connor is into also, I guess this is reading, music, writing, and history.
Hi.
Well, I welcome you all to 411 Teen. The rise of the internet and social media initiated a shift in popular culture. The hypersexualization of young girls is everywhere. Almost everything that can be sexualized has been sexualized. Miley Cyrus is no longer a Disney girl. A new generation of young girls racing toward womanhood before even finishing puberty is produced. A recent article in Newsweek identified social media, technology, and fashion and culture playing a prominent role in the hypersexualization of young girls. My opening question to you all is, do you see young girls being hypersexualized today? And I'll just start with whomever, Rashima, and we'll just go around the table. What do you see?
Yes, I do. A lot. Mostly on music videos and stuff that's supposed to be children-related or whatever. They're just not, it's not for children-ized anymore because it's too, I don't know how to put it, but it's just too ahead of their time.
And you've covered some good things, and we're going to come back to those. What about you, Eileen?
I definitely see girls being sexualized with or without their permission. Like, even at school, I see girls getting, they could get, not necessarily in our school, it's not as strict, but in other schools I hear of girls getting in trouble for showing their bra strap or if it falls down or showing too much shoulder or showing too much leg, which when they were, like, probably 10 years ago would not have been sexualized on their bodies. But since now they are getting older, now it's being seen as a sexy thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hannah.
It's like Eileen was saying about the bras. Like, bras are, you can go into a store and see bras being marketed for young girls, and they're, like, lacy, and they have other things on them that are supposed to be, like, really sexy, and it's really uncomfortable to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
I definitely see it a lot just going around town and all, like, people just over-sexualizing everything. Girls always walking around in, like, the shortest shorts that they can wear that's still considered slightly decent, and shirts that are basically just bras with, like, a lacy sleeve.
Yeah. It's disturbing. I agree with you all. What about you, Connor?
When I'm online and stuff, because I'm really into YouTube and that kind of stuff, I'm always seeing all these girls who are being made really sexy, like these videos of guys saying what they find attractive about girls, and then of course there's the whole Miley Cyrus deal going on, and these kids who, when I was their age, I didn't even bother thinking about that kind of stuff because I was still like into little kid books and that kind of stuff, and they're just like thinking about sex and looking hot for guys, and like in elementary school, girl kids are going out as boyfriend and girlfriend now, and it's just like, you're at elementary school.
I know. I'm so glad to hear you all say it. I know I'm from 02, so I may be out of it. But I look at it and I go, my goodness, what is happening? Well, Connor, you mentioned Miley. What happened to Miley Cyrus? Did she just grow up, and is it that we're still seeing her in this role? Or let's look at her for a minute. What happened from your perspective?
I think what happened is she grew up and she's trying to show everybody that she's not this little Disney girl that she was when she first started out. She's trying to show that she's a grown woman now. Mm-hmm. And it, she has a body, and then she's trying to show people, I'm not this little Hannah Montana Disney girl that started out.
It's wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. It's hard to put in words.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how do you all see what's happened?
I mean,
what's going
on? This whole, thing isn't anything new. She's always had these types of songs. Like, mm-hmm. a few years back, she had that song, Can't Be Caged.
Can't Be Tamed.
Can't Be Tamed. And she's always had this, she always knew that people saw her, as the Disney girl, and she's always wanted to break out of that. And I feel like now with her showing off her body even more, she's found a way to both make people see her how she wants to see them, and also find a way to make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where it mostly comes from.
So you think money definitely has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. What about you, Ashima?
I think the reason she's acting like this is because she was caged. She had to live by a certain schedule. She wasn't able to go out and experience things. So once she got the freedom that she always wanted, mm-hmm. she just handled it the way she thought it should be handled. And she wanted to show everybody what she really wanted to be, or just mm-hmm. probably trying to get back at people who kept her in this cage while she was younger, because she didn't really experience any of that stuff before.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's more of her after being, like they were saying, after being seen as a little kid, basically. Uh-huh. I think she tried to not so much prove that she was a woman, but sort of force herself into society's view of what a woman is, and which is an object. Like, she's objectified yep. mm-hmm. herself, and she's been objectified.
Do you feel she owes any responsibility to these young girls who are still, you know, trying to emulate her? Because she's sending, you know, here she was, Hannah Montana, and now she's, I don't know, hot mama, you know, for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. does she, I mean, and she may not, I'm not saying she does, I'm just wondering, do you think that she has any responsibility? I mean, she has moved on. We have to give her credit there. She is no longer 11, 12, whatever. She is grown now. Mm. And so I guess she's trying to change her image. But what's your take on that?
I think she does need to take responsibility, because
okay.
there are these younger girls who are trying to find someone to look up to, someone to aspire to be. They're still figuring out how they are right now. And like my little cousin, who's 9 or 10 years old, she is wanting to be like Miley Cyrus. And I'm telling her, you don't want to be like Miley Cyrus, because everyone's perceiving her as a very sexual person. She, someone who's very involved with sex and drugs and all these things mm-hmm. that are not good for younger children to be involved in. And basically, she needs to realize that because of that time where she was the Hannah Montana, Disney's poster child, she still has these younger kids who are, watching Hannah Montana reruns or something, and they're looking up to her. She needs to realize that she could be greatly affecting these kids.
Yeah, go ahead.
I personally feel like that's a very tough question, because this is placing a lot of responsibility on just one person. Like, you can't blame, Miley Cyrus for coming along the way, and her stuff is getting put on the radio over other people's stuff or other women's stuff that could not view them as objectifying. But you're trying to blame her because this is what media has decided is going to be popular. This is what's going to be famous. I mean, a lot of people say that Miley Cyrus, what she's doing is ridiculous. But if you listen on the radio, you hear her songs a lot. If you go on MTV, you see a lot of her videos. Like, if the people aren't supporting her, somebody is supporting her. And nobody, I just feel like that this goes back to her just making money, and she's doing what she thinks is popular.
Okay. Any other comments on how do you, where Where do we go with Miley, and what responsibility does she have? Do you feel she has a responsibility, Rashima?
At some point I do, because like she said, they look up to her and they watch her show, and they're like, I want to be like Hannah, but Hannah's really Miley, and they're like, well, if she's like this now, I should be like this now. But I think she should probably come out and be like, this is not for little girls. This is not for anyone.
So she should put a kind of disclaimer on.
Yes.
Okay.
Just get the point clear. Mm-hmm. Like, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I agree a lot with Eileen. I think it is a big responsibility to place on her when she's not the one that's... I mean, how many girls have been objectified like her and haven't been nearly as famous?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something that, like, it should be a wake-up call to all of us. Like, we should look at society and think, why is this being accepted?
That's a good question. And I'll throw that right back at you. It's everywhere. We see the effects that it's having on teens and tweens, okay? What does it say about society? All of you, feel free. I want to hear from each of you. So
I feel like in society they're trying to make money. Whatever gets the most attention is what they're going to jump at to make their pockets fatter, basically.
And sex sells.
Yep.
It's a true thing. And by sexualizing these girls, they can make money because teenage boys like sexy girls.
Well, not just teenage boys. Youth in general is sexy. Yes. Youth is a sexy thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wants to see a 35-plus woman on stage doing the things that Miley Cyrus is. They would call her... Well, they would call her the same things, but also with the added remarks of her being old, as they would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you all must have been just reading, because I had put down here money. What role does money play? And, you know, for Miley, it's a job. So if it's her job, does she have responsibility? I mean, it's about making money, right? And that's really what it's about. I mean, she's not doing it for free, you know?
There are other famous singers and people, though, who aren't acting like she does. And there are people who have just as much of a following as she does that don't like twerk with giant teddy bears on stages.
Well, now that's true. You raise a good point. Hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, we're examining the hypersexualization of girls in today's society. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. We're examining the hypersexualization of young girls that is everywhere. Access to technologies, social media, fashion, and culture play a prominent role in the sexualization. Let's look at the media. And we've kind of been looking at the media as we look at Miley Cyrus. But Disney has been raising girls for decades, and they've been princesses, okay? It starts with the cartoons, and then you graduate, you know. And I guess you go to Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, and then lately we also have this reality series, The Bachelors. Would you agree that the media sets the stage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the ones who choose what goes up there, and they choose what is made popular because they choose what's available.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see people writing articles that get really, really, really popular and stuff on how to grow rutabagas.
Okay.
You see that kind of stuff with, like, all these things that are shocking. A shock factor always makes it so more people want to see it because they're interested. That's why a lot of viral videos go viral, because they're funny or they're shocking or they're cute.
Okay. All right. How do you feel about, Eileen, about the media?
The media is like, it's kind of a complicated thing. Like,
okay,
you can say, just like the economy, you can say the economy is this, but really the media decides what they want to put forth based on what the population, what they're willing to spend their money on.
Mm-hmm.
So the media decides what to put forth based on, in my opinion, based on how the audience reacts to it.
Great point. Yeah, because I was just thinking that, yeah, the media kind of sets the stage, But society, we're the ones that determine whether that stage is worthwhile or not. Mm-hmm. So they said it, but people are feeding into it. Mm-hmm. So we're telling them it's okay.
Yeah. It can start out small, and then, like reality TV shows, it started out with, what, the real world? And then it kept on growing and growing and growing until, like, I don't know, like probably 25% of TV is reality TV now.
There's a reason I don't watch much TV.
That's a good comment. Very good. I mean, because when you look at these programs, they're rife with sexual innuendos and sexual language, and you think, these are for middle school people? How do we change that? Or do we change it?
I think if we try to change, it's going to be hard because a lot of people have tuned in and they're getting hits from everybody, and it's just going to be hard to try something different because no one's going to want to be interested in learning about something when there's so much drama and there's so much music and what's happening with everybody in the music industry and everything. This is probably hard.
Absolutely. Like, it's really easy to change actions, but it's a whole other ballgame to try and change an attitude or an opinion. So it would be a huge thing to try and, like, get society to stop viewing women and young girls as objects.
So that's what I hear you all saying. That certainly is not the avenue to take if we want to enlighten people about what's happening. What do you suggest, though? How do we address this?
I think we should just try to stop scandalizing it so much. Everything you see that's sex and money or drugs, everything like that, it become the main reason it becomes popular is because it becomes like a scandal. It's just...
That's a good point.
If we educated these girls and these people on this stuff they're viewing, because a lot of it, they start watching this kind of stuff because they don't know about it yet, and they're learning about their bodies, they're getting all these hormones and emotions and feelings, and if they learned about it, people aren't really interested in something they've already learned before. So if we make it mundane by making them have a whole lot of knowledge about this kind of stuff, like not make it where they get so used to hearing about this kind of educational stuff, there won't be kids giggling over penises and boobs and sex ed.
I feel like a good way to make children children again is to let them know that it's okay to not, like, rush into things. Like, you are only 15. You're not even, you haven't even lived, like, half the life of the people that you emulate yet. Like, you are still young. It's okay to be confused about these things. If you have questions, ask them. And the thing about the Miley Cyrus thing is that she is not a child anymore. She has decided to do this. So when people go around calling her things like a slut or doing all these things, it feels uncomfortable because it makes me think back to the times like when being an actress was like a whore position or whatever you want to call it. So it doesn't make it okay to call her these names because she's using her body in a way that is making her money, because other people can objectify it, but then when she decides to take it into her own hands, it's not okay.
Okay. Other comments? Well, one thing that's going on is we know that American girls are entering puberty earlier and earlier, okay? Thus, what may be happening is they may be 11, but look like they're 15 because this is what society and the media has told them that they need to do. And then people respond to them as if they're 15. I should say they might be 11 and look like they're 20, okay? I mean, really. But people respond to them like they look, and because they don't have the experience or the maturity, in turn, they don't know how to handle it. So they handle it like they're 11. Would you all agree?
Absolutely.
I really agree.
I mean, I think, like, when you're raised to, well, you see in media and stuff, when you're raised to be an object, basically, you respond with, like, good emotions when people treat you that way. Like, I don't think young girls are given the tools to react to getting uncomfortable comments from weird old men on the street.
Yeah, like, they don't learn how to say no or no, I don't like that. Like,
right, and that's not that's not something that should let them feel like they have value. Like, that's not where their self-worth should be coming from.
Other comments? Well, I know, you know, and we get caught up in the whole debate of, well, women, young women, whomever you are, you ought to be able to wear whatever you want to wear. But if you're wearing something that is suggestive, you all give me your take on that. I mean, it's hard, you know, because, yeah, they should be able to wear whatever they want to wear. But if you're wearing something that is real suggestive, very revealing, what message are you sending?
I feel like that's complicated because once you start saying, well, if you're wearing that, like, it doesn't, where does the line get drawn? It can be like, well, you were wearing lipstick, like, you were asking for it. Because
Absolutely. Then
that leads to a victim-blaming society where a woman can get raped and like, well, you were drunk and you were wearing a short skirt. Mm-hmm. What were you expecting? Mm-hmm. It could lead to, well, you had eyeliner on, so, yeah.
Right.
It blurs the line once you start doing that. Like, for all intensive purposes, like, when it comes down to that, I say a woman should be able to walk down the street naked without being touched and without being harassed. I know it's idealistic, but that's how I feel. That's how I feel. She should be able to be left alone and feel safe.
Yeah. Good point.
I think when it comes to, like, revealing clothes and stuff like that, if you're going to wear it, you should wear it because you want to wear it and it makes you feel good, not because this is what you think you're expected to wear to look pretty, or you want to get, or you want to feel like you're pretty and people only tell you you're pretty, like, if you wear stuff like this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I say dress how you want to dress if that's how you feel like dressing.
Okay. I'd like to hear from all of you on this. I want to see what your take is on it.
It's a really complicated question.
That's why I want to hear from all of
you. But I think I 100% agree with Eileen. I think it leads to so many, like, what we have now where women are being, like, accused of their own rapes. Like, they're getting they're getting all the responsibility put on them. But at the same time, if it's like 40 degrees outside and you're in short shorts, that's not safe for you.
Like, right. And again, what I'm saying is, what message does it send?
Exactly.
Okay. And even though, yes, you need to be able to wear, and I agree, whatever you want to. But then there's the flip side of, when you wear this, what are you saying?
Well, with society as it is today, whenever girls wear really revealing clothes, they're thought to be sluts just because of how society is. That doesn't mean they are. It just means they are perceived as that. Basically, I'm with Eileen. Girls should be able to wear what they want, what they're comfortable in, and not have to worry about any repercussions. Because it's, as a student from Sale, I can probably sound pretty stereotypical saying this, but it's a way of showing their individuality, showing how they like to dress and all that. If they want to go around in short shorts and a tank top, let them, just as well as you let a girl like me who prefers wearing jeans and hoodies. But like with Hannah said, you need to use a little common sense. Like, don't be dressing in clothes you would go out clubbing in when it's 40 degrees outside, because that's just not safe. And in my personal opinion, it's actually kind of dumb.
Okay.
I think when you look at a girl and you, like, just because society shows, like, oh, she has on shorts, she's this, she has on these short shorts, so this. I wonder if, like, society would have switched it and said if it started out saying a girl has on pants, oh, she's wearing pants, this, everybody would be like, oh, she has on pants, not recognizing the girl with the shorts on, just because society sets it out that way. So I think a girl should wear anything she wants without being harassed.
Okay. Did you have a comment?
I was just thinking about maybe we should teach restraint to not just the youth, but, like, this seems to be a problem that comes mainly from males, that, or just in general, that we should teach restraint, that we should teach respect. Like, not respect, like, I don't mean respect, like, if you're wearing a tank top that means you don't respect yourself, mm-hmm. but respect as in you will respect another person's space. Like, don't, if when they say, no, I don't want to be touched, I don't like you touching my face or my hair, then that's enough. That's enough for you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way you are talking about me. I don't like the way that you are looking at me. That should be enough. Because I see, like, a lot of young girls, even nowadays, like, they'll be 13 to 18, and they'll be eyed by 40-year-old, 30-year-old men. They don't have restraint. They should know better. They're old enough to be their daughters or their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of perverse that they don't have that restraint yet, and, like, they don't have that mastered that this isn't right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But how do we teach that? I agree, you know, but where do we start?
I mean, I think, I don't remember which one of you said it, but I remember someone saying something about, like, making it more normal, basically. Like, a body is a body, a boob is a boob, mm-hmm, no matter uh-huh. who it's on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think that should start at, like, 2 years old, saying, this is my body, this is your body, good touch, bad touch, like, what's okay and what's not, and just educating kids about their bodies and not excusing anything.
Behaviors.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with Hannah, because when I was little, I lived with my grandma and my mom in the same house. So they would explain this, no one should touch you like this, and you shouldn't go out like this way. But they didn't pressure me on it. They told me what was right and mm-hmm. what was wrong, but they actually let me experiment myself. And I think if you want to get it out there that this is normal and this is not right, you should just start in the home, but not too much mm-hmm. in the home. So when your child does go out to school or does watch those Disney shows or reality shows, they won't be like, what is this? Well, I want to do this. They'll mm-hmm. already be familiar with it because you taught it to them.
Yeah, like with Rashima, just make it normal. Make it not something that has all this mystique and allure to it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not interested in what they're used to. They're not interested in ordinary life. That's why there are things like these fantasy and apocalyptic shows. We want something different. We want to see what it was like. That's why The Walking Dead is so popular, because we all wonder, what would we do if we were in a zombie apocalypse? I cannot tell you how many times my friends and I have planned what we'd do in a zombie apocalypse if it ever actually happened. And, well, if we make it normal, they won't be as interested, and they'll just live with it. Like, mm-hmm. my friend in England, because, like I said, I'm into online stuff, so I know a whole lot of people. Sex is really, really normal in England. It's violence that no one really thinks about.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, like, really open about this kind of stuff. And there's no one, like, being accused of being a slut or doing these overly sexualized things, because it's normal for them. They're educated. And the way to educate is to start in the home, because the parents are the first ones to teach you. They're the ones who are the ones responsible for teaching you right from wrong.
Okay. Well, sometimes the problem might be with the parents, because we have mothers who want to look like their daughters. Do you know? You all know what I'm mm-hmm. talking about?
I've seen it.
You go out in the mall and you see a mother and her daughter, and the mother is dressed just like the daughter.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
That just goes back to youth being sexy. It's a commodity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you never learned that, or I guess those mothers never learned that, like, that's not where your worth is from. And that's a horrible mm-hmm. example mm-hmm. to teach girls that, like, the attention that they get from doing that is something that they should be or feel proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of them just feel old and they want to feel young again. And then they do this. And it's really not good. Yeah, because you're not sending very good vibes to your kid. Well, lesson-wise with that, in my opinion. And, well,
and they must not.
Yeah.
They must not have a real feel for how they present.
Mm.
Okay. That's what I would think. Of course, now the other side of it, or another part of it is, you know, as we talk about the media, think about advertisements that you may have seen where the actual model is very young, and you know she's young, but she has lots of mascara on, and she may be in some kind of skin-tight outfit, and she may be all oiled up, so she's looking, you know, very, very shiny. And doesn't that kind of reinforce the dirty old men?
I'm really thinking of that one Arby's commercial where she's, like, very sexily eating a hamburger now.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
true.
Or then a beef slice thingy. You don't have hamburgers, but yeah.
It's just like, I'm starting to think of that now because I'm just going, why would you sexualize eating a hamburger? They're awesome enough without making them really sexy.
But it goes right back to what we were saying earlier. Sex sells.
Absolutely. Okay. Like, there was a Calvin Klein commercial from the 80s with Brooke Shields where she was, like, 15 years old, and she was, like, putting the jeans on. Like, the whole commercial was her putting them on and then zipping them up.
Right.
And then the line was, like, nothing gets between me and my Calvins.
That's
right.
And it
felt like she was 15 years old. It's so awkward and gross.
Mm-hmm.
And it still happens. Like, what was the company? I can't remember if it was, like, Urban Outfitters or American Apparel. I can't remember.
I think it was American Apparel.
It was, like, one of those kind of hipstery companies. Like, they, like, have, like, a ton of scandals of, like, there was this one thing. They were selling, like, unisex shirts. And for the male model, it was just, like, a guy looking at, like, the camera with, like, he had, like, full jeans, a buttoned-up shirt, like, sleeves all the way down, like, buttoned up. Nothing showing. He was just, like, grabbing his collar and looking into the camera. And then when they showed it on the girl, it was the same shirt, but she had it open. She had nothing underneath the shirt, so it was just, like, you couldn't see her breasts, but you could, like, she's naked under it. She was in her underwear, and she had the sleeves rolled up, and she was playing with her hair and, like, looking into the camera seductively, like, who are you supposed to appeal to? I know this is a unisex shirt, and one's supposed to appeal to the man. Is the second one supposed to appeal to woman or man?
Well, hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a break. Tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I'm having a very dynamic, informative discussion with some young folks from SAIL. Again, I welcome Connor Mock, Savannah Burris, Eileen Bustamante, Hannah Hancock, and Rashima Jackson. Do you think kids are growing up too fast?
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
I see 5-year-olds wearing, like, skinny jeans and crop tops showing their entire stomach. And
yeah. Back in 7th grade, when I was in jazz band, one of our performances was going back to the elementary school playing for the prospective new band students. And basically, this was my old elementary school, so I remembered what it was like at least 2 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years prior, there was a very strictly enforced dress code. You couldn't wear spaghetti straps, but you could wear tank tops as long as they were 3 fingers thick.
Mm-hmm.
Your shorts had to be fingertip length, and you had to wear real shoes. Flip-flops were not allowed for obvious reasons because you can bust your butt in them.
That's true.
And basically, at some point when I'd been in middle school, they ditched dress code, and then there was these little girls dressed in skinny, really tight-fitting shorty shorts and gladiator sandals, and though I admit I really do like gladiators. Anyways, spaghetti strap top showing way more skin than a 5th grader needs to be showing. And I'm just like, what happened? What happened to my childhood?
But I think that goes back to what we were saying when we were talking about the parents and the mothers, because these parents had to buy this for them.
Yeah.
So the parents are sending the message that they condone this, that it's okay and it's acceptable for you to look this way.
Absolutely. I mean, it goes back to at that time in your life, you, like, crave acceptance and being wanted, and those girls are being wanted for the wrong reasons, and they're accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like those fads when you were younger. Like, remember when Crocs were really popular?
Oh, yeah, Crocs. I always wanted Crocs. A pair, but my grandparents never gave me.
Like, there was Crocs for a while, then it was, what were those, like, moccasin-looking shoes called?
The Birkenstocks?
No, not those. They looked, boat shoes. What were they called?
The boat kind of shoes.
So, like Sperry's or something?
Sperry's, that was it.
Okay.
Sperry's were, like, extremely popular for a while, and I was never able to get a pair because they're, like, really expensive shoes.
Right.
It's just, like, these fads, and these girls are thinking they must dress like this to be accepted, and when all these other girls start dressing like little teeny boppers, they want to start dressing like little teeny boppers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to avoid bad language.
I know another thing is that little girls are seen as cute and adorable when they dress like this, where a girl just 2-3 years older is seen as hot and sexy, and then the little girl, she's wearing like a mini skirt that doesn't even really cover her panties, and is seen as so adorable because, oh my God, she's
so
dressing
cute.
Just like a teenager would. Mm-hmm. It kind of just makes me sick because, like, just cover up. You're a little girl. Where's your childhood now?
There's been so many times, like, this is making me think of all the different, like, R. Kelly and Terry Richardson. He's a photographer. And, I can't remember another one. But, like, there's so many points where celebrities, male celebrities, objectify or abuse young women and exploit them. And it doesn't – they may get, like – people won't buy their music for, like, 2 or 3 years, and then they get right back in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and we, like, completely ignore the fact that
this
there's some...
girl's life was
absolutely. There's
it's
some
like
girl out there who has to, like, occasionally be reminded because, oops, she turned her TV on, and she has to be reminded of some traumatic event, and it goes back to, like, it sets a message. Like, it sends it out there. You're not... This isn't important. You're an object. You don't have any... You don't deserve respect.
Indeed. That's what it says. What role, and we kind of touched on this, do you think reality TV plays? Because now we have shows that are supposed to be real. They're not set up. And they depict drinking, okay?
Yeah.
And sexual comments and emotional upheaval. They're all upset. What impact is this having?
Oh, my little sister. I came in one day, and she's like, tune in. She's watching the show. I'm like, oh, it's cool. It's nice. And I'm like, watching. I'm like, what is this called? And she said, The Bad Girls Club.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, okay. This should be just probably some hilarious little reality show. I'm like, oh, they're fighting and they're getting drunk. This is, yeah. I'm like, why are you watching this? And she's like, it's cool. All my friends are watching. I said, all your friends. And she's in fifth grade. All your friends are watching it. She's like, oh, my favorite character is so-and-so, which is the worst person on there. And I was like, I don't even watch this. Why are you watching this?
It's just why, like, I refuse to watch reality television outside of that one cartoon parody one, like, Total Drama Island or whatever it's called, because I loved that show. Mm-hmm. I will admit it. And it's just, like, peer pressure with, like, your little sister. And whenever my cousin says that, if all your friends decide to go jump off a bridge with you too, because
mm-hmm.
I just...
Nowadays, people would say yes, but with the bungee cord.
Or
I'll say
the
there's no bungee cords or a safety gear included. You would just die.
Well, you know, you think about other programs. What is it? Here Comes...
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Oh,
our Dance Moms.
Oh.
And everything about those programs... is the opposite of what a mother would want, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, who are the role models today? I mean, granted, I know it sounds corny, but, you know, we had the Brady Bunch and the Huxtables, and those were...
Partridge Family.
The Partridge
Full
House.
I loved Full House.
I think it's
Full House is the show.
I think it's kind of just showing the worst of... I think it's just showing the worst of society, because you don't see people that... You don't really see people that aren't drinking and constantly smoking and cussing and stuff like that on TV, because it's boring to people who don't do that. People who don't do stuff like that, they want to see people who do that because they don't experience it. And so they want to see what it's like without actually doing it, or they want to, like...
Or if, like, nothing else, just to go, hey, kids, this is how you're not supposed to act.
Yeah, that's That would be a good lesson. Don't do this because.
But I mean, we can hate it all we want, but somebody's watching it. Like Big Brother. Absolutely. Big Brother, that's money. Like the most ridiculous thing. Like Big people Brother. Are cussing, people are. There's weird relationships going on, there's overt racism going on. Like it's just like watching a gladiator game. Like you want to see the worst in people because it's like, I don't know, maybe it can make people feel better. Like I know I wouldn't do that if I were in that situation. But the thing is that these shows are staged. Like Big Brother, they don't have anything to do. They just have to be in a household with like what 20 people and try to get along with 20 people for 24 hours without having to be able to leave the house. Like this past summer, like Big Brother had a thing where you could watch what they were doing at whatever time, 24 hours a day. It didn't matter if they were on TV or not. You could go on a website and watch whatever they were doing. And with that, that happened, and then you saw, like, the worst in people. Like, there was a girl that had a breakdown because she couldn't take the racism that was going on in that household. Mm-hmm. Like, it was ridiculous.
Isn't that the one with the robot that insults you, or am I thinking something else?
I think you're thinking something else.
I just remember the robot that insulted you was actually really funny because the comments, it actually was a really good smartass.
That makes me think of the mirrors in Harry Potter where if you don't look good, they insult you.
Yeah. But back to who are the role models today? I mean, who do you all look up to?
I look up to my mom. But okay. I know I kind of look up to Kate Michelle. This is kind of against the show. But but I know not to do what she does because I'm older. I know what to do. But like my little sister, again, she looks up to Miley Cyrus. She looks up to Rihanna. And she says, I want to be like them. And I'm like, no. But I'm glad I'm there to tell her. But still, the role models, I think, they just look up to someone that they want to be. They're like, oh, she gets happy and she gets all the attention. I want attention, so I have to do what she does to get attention. Mm-hmm. I think that's how they get their role models.
I want to hear from all of you on this. Who are your role models? Who is important in your life that you would like to emulate?
Role model. My mother is a very, very big role model to me. And she's gonna think I'm lying my butt off when I'm saying this. But she's going to college. She's working her way. She's going to work, even though right now she is she's off work right now because she has a hurt back and it's been bothering her a lot lately. But she's going to college and she is gonna be a paralegal and she works hard, and I want to be like her. I want to have a – she just bought a house and all, and it's like she's definitely someone I want to be like.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like somebody you're very proud of, too. She's made enough.
Very proud of her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I watched I think it's called American Masters on PBS the other night, and it was about Alice Walker, and I fell in love with that woman, and I would love to be like her.
Mm-hmm. Very, very enlightened.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The thing is that there are role models out there. It's just that they're not getting attention. They're not getting popular attention because they're, I don't know, good person. I don't want to say good person because these people that we're trying to shame aren't necessarily bad people. They do have their own philosophies in life. Like mine would be, I like bell hooks. I like Laverne Cox. I like a lot of people. There are good role models out there. You just have to look for them. And it depends on the person of who you think a good role model is and who isn't. Like, I think Nicki Minaj is a good role model. Not because I don't want to shame her for her body. I like her body. I like what she says. I like what she says that it's not her job to raise your children. It's up to you. It's up to the parent whether they want their child to see what she does or what she doesn't do. So.
Okay.
With me, my biggest role model would probably be my dad, because let me put it this way. My dad, when he married my mom had already had three kids, and their dad was a bum, and he became a father to my brother and my two older sisters, and then he was also a father to me and my older sister, and he never differentiated between all of us. We were all his kids, and now he still cares about all of us, even now when him and my mom are split up. And I live with my dad. I see him every day. I see him when he's working because he just, like, got promoted to be a manager. And he knows nothing about managing, but he's learning so quickly. And I just admire him so much because he can love like this. And my dad is just really awesome.
He sounds like he's awesome.
Can I brag about my role model? My role model is my mother. Mm-hmm. And because is a lot, but she goes through a lot. And she's, I'm not going to say her age, but she's in college also. And mm-hmm. she's going to be a social worker. But all her life, they told her that she had a learning disorder or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she has a 4.0 GPA now in college, and they told her she'll never be there. She's just great. She's mm-hmm. a great person. And she's not married. She has no boyfriend. So
it's awesome.
She's great.
Pick her up.
Anyone else? That good?
I mean, I want to shout out my mom, too. Yeah, shout out. My mom's a really cool person and really strong and takes care of 4 daughters that are kind of ungrateful.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom does that for me and my brother. We're both really... We can be horrible at times.
Yeah, I feel bad for my parents.
And me and my brother, we're both really brats. Yeah. That's the nicest way I can say it. We're brats. And she deals with a lot with us.
Yeah. I don't want to be ungrateful, so I just want to say I love you, Mommy, even though I didn't get to speak about you a lot. I know you do a lot of things.
That's great, though.
I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad.
Yeah, that is super. We've said kids are growing up too fast. All of you have agreed, you know, that that is what's happening. But who's pushing them? Who's pushing these kids to grow up so fast?
Media, society, each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's each other because, you know, mostly your friends will be like, oh, I'm doing this and you should do this. So we can be cool together, and mm-hmm. you just want to fit in with that group, that one group. It's always that one group at school mm-hmm. that everybody looks up to, like, oh, that's that group I want to be in.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That group is doing this, so I want to mm-hmm. do this.
Yeah,
so.
I remember when I was little, there was a group of popular girls, and they were all named Sydney. Like, there was a group of, like, 5 girls named Sydney.
It's like the Ashleys on the playground.
And they were all really popular. There were these pretty, blonde, popular girls. And they always wore the best clothes and stuff. And every time I went shopping to get clothes, I would try to gently persuade my grandma to let me get stuff like this. And then I would wear it. And then people would laugh at me for wearing it. And so I'd try to, like, do better with, like, making myself more like them so I could be, like, more popular and, like, fit in. But I was always the odd one out, the little nerd who didn't pay attention to who was dating who and stuff like that in second grade.
That's like how I was in Wakulla when I was still living down there. I was that quiet, nerdy girl who no one really, really liked, who always read in the back of the classroom. Savannah, I can tell you now, I'm not that anymore, but that's who I was.
Oh, she still reads.
Oh.
Well,
your
only
hobby was
reading,
okay? And I admit, I've been influenced by peer pressure before. Like, that's the reason that I'm here today. She asked me to come.
Well, that was positive.
I just asked. You didn't have to agree.
Yeah, but I didn't want to feel left out.
One thing that has been a consistent theme through what you all are saying has that been the need to fit in. Mm-hmm. Is that Eileen.
Well, that just goes back to what I said before, that kids need to be okay with just being themselves. Because I feel like, even though it's bittersweet, like, I didn't have a lot of representation for myself growing up, like, in media. I didn't see people that looked like me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel as pressured as other girls who say, who have blonde hair or who are really thin, like, to look like that, because I just thought to myself, that's never going to be me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there wasn't any representation for me, but it made me more comfortable to just be myself and be my person. So when other kids are like, oh, I did this over the weekend and I got really drunk and I was kind of the nerdy girl, it's like, oh, my parents are really, like, strict. I don't really get to go anywhere. So that's what I did for the weekend. Like, I was comfortable enough to do that. And I feel like once you stop, like, trying to market to young girls in this particular age range, send them this negative message, they won't identify with this 15-year-old model that you have showcasing your product that are supposed to be sold to 18 to 50-year-old people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how I feel whenever I'm in the dark room at school for photo class, because there are these kids who will talk about drugs and sex and wild parties, and I just feel like, I spend my weekends home alone in my bedroom on the computer.
The only one who keeps me company on the weekends is my cat. And most of the time, that's because he wants food.
Hey, I just went to your house last weekend.
I said most of the time.
Well, you know, as I look at the clock, the hands on the clock say that that is it for this edition of 411 Teen. I would like to extend a special thank you again to Rashima Jackson, Hannah Hancock, Eileen Bustamante,
bye,
Savannah Burris, and Connor Mock. I appreciate you all for just being very candid and sharing with us your take on this hypersexualization of young females. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.